Today's daf is Me'ila daf Zayin. We're going to start at Vav Amubet at the bottom, four lines from the bottom, Itmar. So before we start, we just have to review. We had a Mishnah at the top of Vav Amubet, which talked about Basar Kodeshei Kodeshim Shiatza Lefnei Zrikat Damim. We had a case of meat of the highest sanctity that leaves the walls of the temple courtyard before Zrikat Damim, before the blood is sprinkled. So what's the status? The meat is disqualified. However, even whether the meat comes back in, doesn't come back in, that's an irrelevant point. When you sprinkle the blood of that korban, you receive atonement for it. Just because the meat went out doesn't affect your ability to sprinkle the blood. So comes the Mishnah, discusses, well, what happens to that meat as regards me'ila when you sprinkle the blood? Since the blood is an effective sprinkling, does it work too, again, on koche kochim, to remove the me'ila from the meat? So Rabbi Lezer Omer, no, it doesn't. Mo'alim bo ve'en chayvin ala mishum pigol no tevr tami. There's two aspects. There's number one, mi'ila, which usually gets removed. And number two, the blood is effective to create the, let's say you had a pigol machshava before, then eating that meat will be kareid only if you've done the zrikat dam, we call that ritzoi. And it'll only be notar or tame that you'll be punished for. You'll get kareid if you leave the meat over and then eat it. Or if you the meat becomes impure and you eat it, that will only happen if you've done zrikat dam. And therefore, since this zrikat dam didn't actually allow us to eat the meat, therefore, none of this is relevant, according to Rabbi Lezer. But Rabbi Akiva says, ain mo'alim bo, there's no more me'ila, the zrika is effective. Today we're going to focus on Rabbi Akiva's opinion. He basically says, even though the meat's contaminated, and you know, disqualified is a better word, then the Zrika works, though. So because the Zrika works, it's effective in all the ways Zrika is normally effective. So today we're going to have a bunch of limitations, two limitations on this statement of Rabbi Akiva, and then one limitation on the next part of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, maybe I'll just preface it now and review that part, which is then Rabbi Akiva said, how do I know that what I'm saying is correct? Because if you're mafrish chatato v'avda v'hifrish acheret tachteha, you separate a korban chatat, a sin offering, you lose it. You take another one in its place, and then you find the first one in haresh tehen omdot, and both are standing before you. Lo kishem shadama poter psara, kachu poter psar chaverta. Just like what happens then, you sprinkle the blood of only one of the animals, and the other animal is basically, remember, normally, if the animal's still alive, then it would have to be a chatat shemeta. Here we're talking about we've slaughtered them both before the zrikat dam, in which case you can't leave it to die, it's already dead. What do we say? Well, since these two, what we call, have zika, they're connected to each other, because they were both brought for the same korban, theoretically, and therefore, well, not theoretically, actually, they were brought for the same korban, just theoretically, because one wasn't able to be sacrificed. What happens when you sprinkle the blood of one, it not only matirs its own meat to be eaten and no longer is a din of me'ila, but even the other meat, which you're not allowed to eat, however, it no longer has a din of me'ila on it. Okay, that's the second halacha of Rabbi Akiva, which also we're going to limit. Okay, we're going to have two limitations on the first part of Rabbi Akiva and one on this. And from there, he proved, just like it can work there to matir some other meat from me'ila, therefore, in our case, it can matir its own meat from me'ila.
And that means you just have to throw out the meat, right?
Well, the meat is disqualified. So then the question is, what happens with disqualified meat and what do you do with it? We'll talk about that also later. Itmar. So now it was said that Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ki Amar Rabbi Akiva zrika mo'elet liyotze sheyatza miktzato, aval yotze kulo lo. When we say that zrika is mo'elet liyotze, what's the case? It's regarding a case where some of the meat went out, not all of it, okay? If all the meat goes out, Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Akiva wouldn't think that this would work. Why? Because it can only affect the meat if the meat, okay, well, this is what we call a migo. What's a migo? Migo is used in various ways. And this is one type of use. Migo means mitoch. From the fact that it, that's what happens, you have blood inside, you have meat inside that never went out, and you have some meat outside. Well, the blood inside is effective to get atonement, number one, and it will matir the meat inside. Since it'll matir the meat inside, we say since it already had a chalut, as we say, it kind of landed somewhere and worked, it'll also affect the meat outside. We kind of view them as a continuum of each other, the meat inside, the meat outside. But if all the meat is outside, then he doesn't think that Rabbi Akiva was talking in that kind of case. In that kind of case, even though the blood is a real good sprinkling, it's not going to matir the meat because the meat is not mutar in any way, shape, or form. So that's what he says. Amar le Rav Asi le Rabbi Yochanan. So now Rav Asi asked Rabbi Yochanan a question, at least according to one version. Okay, we're going to see what happens here is Rav Asi is going to ask a question of Rabbi Yochanan, according to the way I'm going to read the sugya. Then the Gemara is going to question Rav Asi and say, can Rav Asi really say that? Doesn't it contradict something else Rav Asi said? And then they resolve that contradiction and then they're finished. And they never go back to the question. So some people actually claim that this isn't actually asked as a question on Rabbi Yochanan. It's just Rav Asi brings the following halacha and, you know, it's kind of similar, but it doesn't really question Rabbi Yochanan. So there's a debate, and the reason why they say that, what's motivating them, seems to be because the Gemara never gets back to answering the question. Although sometimes the Gemara brings questions and doesn't answer them, but it doesn't say kasha, or it doesn't relate to it at all. So there's two ways of reading this. Either it asks a question or it doesn't. I'll read it with the way that it asks a question. Okay, obviously it's going to be easier to read if it doesn't ask a question, because then we're just teaching halacha and answering, and then dealing with that halacha, and then we don't need to relate it to the previous sugya, so that part of that way I'm not going to explain, but I'll explain it this way. So Rav Asi says to Rabbi Yochanan, but how can you say that it's not going to work for meat that yatsa kulo? Because kfar limduni chaverai shebagola, my friends in the gola already taught me, okay, so remember they're in Eretz Yisrael, my friends in Chutz Laretz taught me, michashvin al ha'avud v'hasaruf. Okay, what does this mean? This means going back to Pigul, we keep coming back to Pigul. Pigul is while I'm doing some act, I have an intent that I'm going to do another act in the wrong time. Let's say I think about the fact that I'm going to eat this meat outside of the time that I'm allowed to eat it, except that the meat isn't actually there. The meat is lost or it's burned already. Okay, so I have a Pigul Machshava about something that doesn't exist anymore. Okay? It's a little strange. Okay, we'll see. The Gemara is going to later explain this a little bit differently. But let's say, okay, so Rashi explains, let's say, she'im nisrefu ha'imurim. Okay, let's say before you did the Zerika, you burnt the parts you're supposed to burn, the Mizbeach, even though you're not supposed to do that, but you did it before. And then while you're doing the Zerika, right, chishev bizrika, al menat lak tiran chutz lezmanan. You think, I'm going to burn these after the time, even though they're already burnt. It's a little bit of a strange thing, but let's say you did. Well, mechashvin, it says, meaning, it's effective. If you did that, it's effective. So how does this relate to our case of the meat being outside, all the meat being outside? Well, v'ha avud v'saruf lo itinum ba'olam, they're not in existence at all, v'afilu hachi katane mechashvin, and yet we still say that pigul works. How could you then, in our case, say, well, if all the meat goes out, then Rabbi Akiva doesn't think the zrikat down would be effective? Theoretically, that is in a much better situation than something that doesn't exist at all, right? Something that's outside, even if it's all outside, theoretically, your zrika should have effects on that, right? If it can have effects on something that doesn't exist, of course it can have effects on something that's just been taken out. Again, whether these two things are connected is a question, and that's why some people think that Rav Asi was just talking about this in general, and it doesn't necessarily relate to the previous case. Okay, so now, then you'd have to have a bit of a different girsa in the text to read that way. Umi, so now, like I said, instead of answering the question, we're going to go and ask a question on Rav Asi himself. Umi amar Rav Asi hachi? Did he really say the following halacha that mechashvin ha'avu v'asaruf? Kind of like you looked, right? You said, what? What kind of crazy case? Hachi, sorry, ha ba'imine Rav Asi m'Rabbi Yochanan. In a different case, we saw, and this is why we think it can't possibly be that he said this, because in a different case, he asked Rabbi Yochanan, chishev l'nishpachim l'machar mahu. Let's say you have a machshava, again, a pigul thought, that what? Let's say the blood spilled. Now, if the blood spills, you can't use it anymore in the mizbeach, you pour it into the yesod. If the blood spills, I think you pour it into the yesod, you pour it somewhere, but if the blood spills, and you can't use it on the mizbeach, but you think in your mind, I'm going to pour the blood on the mizbeach, I'm going to sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach tomorrow, which obviously you can't do tomorrow, because it's, first of all, you can't do it at all because it's nishbachin. And secondly, you can't do it tomorrow. That would be what we call psul of lan, right? You left it overnight. You're not allowed to do that. Or psul of notar, it's left beyond its time. So if you have a thought that you're going to do the nishbachin, chutz lizmanam, that's what we call pigul. So he asked Rabbi Yochanan the following question. What if you had a machshava about nishbachin? Mahu, what's the status? Is it pigul or not? So Amarle Rabbi Zeira, interestingly, he asked Rabbi Yochanan this question, and Rabbi Zeira answered him, Kvar shanita lanu alal. We already learned about the case of alal. What is alal? Alal is, there's a debate about it. We saw this in, I think it's in Chulin or Tzvachim, one of them. The alal is a part of the animal. It's, most people say it's like a part in the neck that's not edible. The basic point is it's not really edible. So the if you have this meat that's not edible, we know that if you think while you're doing the korban that you're going to eat this alal in the wrong time, since it's not really an edible part, there's no din of pigul. Okay, so if that's the case, then wouldn't it be obvious, right? Ha alma, hai alal, kevan delepe mamasha, lo kibel tum'ah. So since this has, right, this alal is really considered nothing, and yet it shouldn't say lo kibel tum'ah, it should say lo mahane b'machshava, right? Your thoughts, your pigul thoughts about something inedible is ineffective. Likewise, hane nishpachin, likewise, if the blood spilled and you can't use it, nami kevandali ibud azle, since we're anyway just going to throw it away, mahane behu, lo mahanya behu machshava. Okay, it should say, right, machshava lo mahanya behu. Okay, there's a bit of the behu is in the wrong place here. So kevandali ibud azle, since they're supposed to be left to go to nowhere, then machshava lo mahanya be. Okay, so therefore, where are we holding now? Rav Asi asked Rabbi Yochanan the following question about the Nishpachin. He got an answer from Rabbi Zeira about an alal, that since an alal can't be eaten, therefore pigul machshava is ineffective. Likewise, the Nishpachin, which can't be used on the Mizbeach, a pigul machshava relating to them is irrelevant. What does this have to do with anything? Because we use this to contradict Rav Asi, who said that what did I learn from my friends in the Gola? That Mechashvin al ha'avud v'asaruf. If you have a pigul machshava about meat that's burnt or meat that's lost, that is effective, which is why he asked the question Rabbi Yochanan. But now we're going to say, how could he say that's effective, right? If nishpachin is not effective and alal is not effective, avud and saruf should be no different from that. They're both items that are not in existence anymore. So if you have a pigul machshava on something not in existence, it shouldn't be effective. So how could he have even said that? So what is the Gemara answer? The Gemara then says, Ela dekatane al avuva saruf kashya. So therefore, when it says on the avud and the saruf, that must be difficult. And here comes the answer. Amar Rava, Ema al ha'omed li'ibud, va'al ha'omed li'saref. It doesn't actually mean, mechashvin al avuv ha'saruf doesn't mean the way I explained it in the beginning, that you have this pigul thought about meat that was already burned on the mizbeach or burned somewhere or doesn't exist or got lost. No. It's something that's about to be burned. Let's say you put it close to the fire and it's about to catch on fire. Or you sent it toward the dog and the dog hasn't yet eaten it yet. Since it's still in existence at the moment, even though in another second from now, or another minute from now, or another 5 minutes from now, it'll be gone, since it's in existence now, a pigul machshava is effective. And that answers our question on Rav Asi, which is, well, nishpachin, it's not relevant, your machshava, and halal, it's not relevant. This is different because this is in existence now, it's just about to be destroyed. Okay, again, like I said, this was all asked on a question. Again, according to one Nusach, this is an independent section, and it starts with Rav Asi, question on Rav Asi, answer on Rav Asi. According to others, the way our pshat in the Gemara is, our Nusach, is that this was asked as a question of Rabbi Yochanan, who said that Zrika is only Mo'elet, according to Rabbi Akiva, in a case where most of the meat, went, or some of the meat was out, but some has to still be inside for it to be effective, because once all the meat's out, it's not going to work. And then he says, but what do you mean? It would work for Avun and Sa'uf, right? So wouldn't it work for that? And there's no real answer. Okay, now we're moving on. So as I said today, we're talking, the main thing of today is going to be limitations on what Rabbi Akiva said in the Mishnah. So here's our second limitation. Amar Rav Papa. Lo amar Rabbi Akiva zrika mo'elet liyotze, ela shiyatza basar, aval dam ein zrika mo'elet liyotze. Rabbi Akiva says that zrika is effective when the meat goes out, is only when the meat goes out. But if the blood itself went out, well, then it can't be brought on the mizbeach. And if it is, and you use that blood to sprinkle on the mizbeach, that's not effective. That's not going to do anything.
You mean if they went, took it out and brought it back?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so the whole thing about psul of yotze is the way we understood it originally, which is it's only that the meat went out. It's not that the blood went out. If the blood went out, well, then you can't sprinkle the blood at all. And therefore, if you did, the blood sprinkling is ineffective. Okay, that one is going to be an easiest one of today because they're not going to actually have any questions on this one. And right, whereas the first one we had a question on, or possibly we had a question, and the next one we're going to have a question on. This one, they're just going to bring a braita to support. Tanya nami hachi, braita to support. Shachat bishtika. Shachat bishtika means not that you didn't talk while you were slaughtering, but it means you didn't have any pigul machshavot. You didn't have any intents of pigul. By the way, if you remember, this is just interesting. When we learned about pigul way back in the beginning of Svachim, we said that there was a big debate about whether pigul is only in your mind or do you actually have to say it. So this would show pigul b'shtika, shachat b'shtika without saying any pigul. It would sort of support the opinion that it has to be said.
Brain silence.
Yeah, right. It's true. That's why I said it could possibly support. It's not clear, but it's possible. So, shachat b'shtika v'yatza dam, and then the blood leaves, right, the asara, that's our case. Af al pi shachazav uzrako lo asav lo klum. Even if you come back in and you sprinkle the blood, it's an irrelevant act. And what does it mean, lo asav lo klum? Here we keep repeating this. Bekotche kotchim mo'alim bo, bekotchim kalim e mo'alim bo. Kotche kotchim, it's going to retain its status, right? Everything's going to retain its status because nothing changes. Kotche kotchim, we're already kotche Hashem from the beginning. They're going to keep being in that state and you're going to have an isra of me'ila. Kotchim kalim never had a din of me'ila, and usually the zrika brings on me'ila. That's not going to happen here. If you think I haven't repeated this enough, just wait. The next mishnah is going to repeat this all again. Just a little interesting. Okay, third section on Rabbi Akiva. Now we go to the second part of Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rabbi Akiva, ha lemaze domeh. Remember when he brings the case of the two chatats, right? The two korban chatats, and they're both omdim, right? They're both standing before him. Just like when you sprinkle the blood of one, it's going to allow the meat of the other to leave the din of me'ila. Therefore, we're going to use that to prove his original case. But we don't really care what it's doing to the original case right now. Right now, we're focusing on this particular case. So what we need to remember is when he sprinkles the blood of one, it's going to remove the me'ila from the other, even though the other is not actually allowed to be eaten. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, here comes the limitation on it. Ki Amar Rabbi Akiva bevat achat, aval bezer charzeh lo. He only made his statement if you shechted them both at the same time. But if you didn't shech them both at the same time, what do we talk about? These animals have zika to each other. They're interconnected because they're both coming for the same sin offering. But that's only going to be if the slaughtering happened at the same time. Why? If the slaughtering happens at different times, then it's going to be clear which one is the real korban that you're supposed to sprinkle the blood and which one is not. It's almost like it was rejected, so to speak. But it's only when they're slaughtered at the same time and theoretically both can be offered on the Mizbeach equally, and there's no order of preference of one over the other, then they'll have this zika to each other and one will remove the me'ila of the other. But if one clearly has precedence and the other is somewhat rejected, then it's not going to affect anything. Now, what does bevat achat mean? So there's a debate. So one opinion says bevat achat means literally bevat achat. That means either you took a super long knife and you slaughtered them both at the same time. No, we did see a case, if you remember, we talked about taking a super long knife and slaughtering them both at the same time. Or theoretically, there was a lot of room there and two people could have slaughtered both animals at the exact same moment. That's one opinion. But there's another more realistic opinion, which is, although this also has some struggled a little with figuring out how this happens, the other is they weren't necessarily slaughtered at the same time. But it's what I said before. There has to be a case where there's no preference for which one goes first. What would that be? If you slaughtered the animal first, then you slaughtered the next animal, then you did Kabbalat Hadam of the first animal after the slaughter. In other words, the Kabbalah, once there's Kabbalah, and the Kabbalah happens first, then before the other one was even slaughtered, then that one has precedence. Now, how exactly you wait until you do Kabbalah, I'm not really sure, because the blood's spurting out, and theoretically, the Kabbalah should happen pretty soon after the Shkita. But theoretically, it could be where you slaughtered one, then you slaughtered the other, then you did Kabbalat Adam of the first. Since the second one was already slaughtered at the time, either one could theoretically be brought to, and then you do Kabbalah of one, and then you do Kabbalah of the other, both are potentials to be brought equally. Okay, one doesn't have precedence over the other.
Because if the blood's splurting out, you're going to be doing it right away.
That's what I said. That's what doesn't make so much sense about this shita. On the other hand, slaughtering them both at the same moment also doesn't make so much sense, but could be again. Yeah, it's a struggle exactly what this means. So now, that's what Rabbi Elazar says. So when Rabbi Akiva said bevat achat, when Rabbi Akiva said what he said, he meant bevat achat. Aval bezer chazeh lo amar Rabbi Akiva. Okay? If you slaughter them one after the other and no longer was there, or one was clearly the one you're supposed to sprinkle, then there's no zika anymore. There's no connection between these two because one was already kind of passed over, so to speak. So now we're going to have a braita to prove Rabbi Elazar. Tanya. Amar Rabbi Shimon, we're going to get a bit of a story here. Rabbi Shimon says, Kishalachti l'kvarpani, when I got to this place, Kvarpani, matzati zaken echad. I found some old person, mitza'ani zaken echad. An old man found me. Vamar li, and he said the following to me. It really is a question. Omer haya Rabbi Akiva zrika mu'elet liyotze? Does Rabbi Akiva really hold that zrika affects a case when it's disqualified, psul yotze, our Mishnah, basically, the pshat of our Mishnah? Amarti lo hein, I said yes. In fact, it's true. Ukishabadi veritzeti dvarim lefnei chaverai shebegalil. But when I went and told the following halacha to my friends in the Galil, right? You see a lot of friends in this. We have the chaverai shebegola. Now we have the chaverai shebegalil. Amruli, they said to me, "Hallo pasulhu he ach meratzel la pasul." This is disqualified. This meat. How could the sprinkling of the blood provide ritzui, right, and enabling the meat that was disqualified from becoming, right? Well, normally it has to be, the meat is eaten, right? This meat isn't eaten. So how could this sprinkling of the blood for pusil meat actually affect anything? So they kind of asked a question. So Rabbi Shimon said, pretty good question. It's really a good question. And Rabbi Akiva, how does this really work? U'cheshayatzati v'ritzeti dvarim lefnei Rabbi Akiva. So then he brought, right, the following question to Rabbi Akiva himself. Amar li b'ni, so here you see the relationship between them, right? He calls him my son, meaning Rabbi Akiva was the teacher, Rabbi Shimon was a student. Later we'll see, they refer to him as the Talmid. Amar li b'ni, iata omer ken, what, you don't agree with me? I'm going to prove it. And how is he going to prove it? The same way he proved it in our Mishnah. Okay, which is interesting. If you think about it, this braita might have preceded our Mishnah. And since Rabbi Shimon asked him the question, our Mishnah kind of brought in that proof that he gave to Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah. But you're going to see, again, why did we bring this? We want to show that Rabbi Elazar is right when he says that Rabbi Akiva only meant bevat achat. And we're going to see from the wording in his answer is a little bit different than the version that appears in our Mishnah. It's a little more elaborate. And there we're going to see that he seems to be describing a case when you did the shchita bevat achat. Okay, so he says, "V'harei mafrish chatatova avda v'ifrish acheret tachteha v'achar kach nimtzei tarishona." So, right, this is exactly our case. You take a chatat, it gets lost. You take another one in its place, and then you find the first one. "V'harei shtehen omdot." That's so far just like our Mishnah. And they're both standing before you, right? That means that they're both, right? They could both be shechted right now. Mo'alim b'shtehen. Okay, right now they're both standing before you. There's a din me'ila on both. Why is there din me'ila on both? Because both are potentials for korban chatat. You separated each for korban chatat. That's now, remember what we said, as soon as you designate the animal, in comes chiyuv me'ila. Now we're going to go through stages. Shachatan, he slaughters them, v'harei daman munach b'kosot. You slaughter them, and you collect the blood in kosot. This already proves our point. If you slaughtered them both and collected the blood, that meant that each was equally possible, right? And the assumption is you must have slaughtered them again, bevatachat, whatever vatachat means. But in a way that theoretically, tamam munach b'kosot sounds like you have two cups and you can choose whichever one you want. That shows it's bevatachat. If that's the case, mo'alim b'shtehen. At that stage, there's still din me'ila because you haven't yet sprinkled the blood. Nizrak dam shalachav mehem. Now, here comes Rabbi Akiva with his proof. As soon as you sprinkle the blood of one, don't you agree with me that as soon as you sprinkle the blood of one, when you choose one over the other, that one is going to affect the meat of the other also? Because again, since the dam was munach b'kosot, each one could have equally gone. That means that both these are kind of considered one korban. And even though in the end, the meat is disqualified of the second one, but at least we should say that there's no din of me'ila by the meat. Okay, that's his proof. And again, all we really proved from here for our purposes was that Rabbi Elazar is correct in saying that Rabbi Akiva only meant Bevat Achad, because look at the way he describes his proof to Rabbi Shimon. And then he keeps, right, he keeps on going a little bit more.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If they're holding the two cups where they collected the blood, yeah. So it means that their intention is, yes, to pour, to sprinkle, lizhork et hadam.
Of only of, no, of, no. You're not intending both.
So
it
then
just
why
means.
Why did they even collect the blood?
Why'd you collect it? Well, let's say what. I'll tell you why.
The zika,
why'd you collect the blood? Because by collecting the blood, you're, if one spills, you can use the other. Oh. That's the point. This isn't dachoy. This isn't rejected. Both can be potentially brought. That connects them. You're saying, why don't you remove the zikah? No one needs to remove the zikah. It actually is beneficial to remove the zikah, to keep the zikah, because then the second one, when it gets rejected, at least the meat won't have a din of me'ila anymore, because the zrikat dam is effective to remove the chi of me'ila on the meat.
So it's sort of making them one animal.
You're doing, yeah, it's right. It's viewed as basically one animal, okay? But it's only viewed as one animal. This is what's interesting, and we're going to see in a minute, there's a bit of a debate about this. Well, no, but it's only viewed as one animal if it's done in a particular manner, right? So that's going to be a bit of a debate, because we're going to say in a minute, what do you mean? It shouldn't make a difference, because they were. Why are they viewed as one korban, right? This is the question. Why are they viewed as one korban? So the Gemara now assumes that why they're viewed as, according to Rabbi Elazar, they're viewed as one korban because they both could have potentially been brought even at this late stage, okay? But what about at an earlier stage, right? When you designated them, even if later one gets rejected and can't really be used, still they were brought for one korban. So the question is, do you make that distinction or do you not make that distinction? Right now we're assuming we make that distinction. It's only if both could have really been brought and the dam was in the kosot and, you know, each could have equally been brought. So since that's the case, right, af yiftor basach ha'vertamina mi'ila, and therefore imitzil basach ha'vertamina mi'ila, if it can save its friend's meat from the mi'ila, af al pishu pasul, even though it's disqualified now, that meat, dinhu, it's only logical, this is just like our Mishnah, sheyatzil ha'psara, right, therefore, jump back to our case, in the din of psul yotze, its own blood was sprinkled, that blood should enable the mi'ila to be removed from the meat, even though the meat's disqualified. Right, because these are both cases where meat is disqualified, and the case of the chatat is the blood enables a different korban. So all the more so if the blood wants to enable its own meat from removing the me'ila. Okay, here comes the interesting part. Amarish Lakish, Mishum Rav Hoshaya. Tshuva genuva hashivo Rabbi Akiva loto talmid. Okay, what is tshuva genuva? Tshuva genuva, okay, sounds like a stolen answer. You might think that means he took it from somebody else. That's not what it means. Okay, if you remember with Lavan, he says to Yaakov, ganavte et levavi, or something like that, right? He says, you stole my heart. What does that mean? You tricked me, okay? You tricked me. You didn't give me the whole truth, okay? Now, which is interesting, right? Lavan says that to Yaakov when Yaakov, you know, could say that to Lavan also. But what he's saying, lignovet levavi, why is that called stealing? Because you're hiding something from me, right? You're, first of all, the Targum Unkelus there calls it, He translates it as vichisita. You covered information from me, and that's like stealing. In other words, you didn't give me the whole thing. You stole information from me by not providing me with all the information. So here, what he's saying is, right, you gave him a really, it's not an accurate answer. It's a way of saying where Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Shimon is wrong. Okay? Why? And here he comes to argue with what we just said. Okay, first of all, it's a very interesting thing that Rish Lakish would start saying that, right, kind of almost in a not nice manner, saying that Rabbi Akiva told Rabbi Shimon, it's almost like he said he told him a story. He didn't really answer him properly. By the way, I happened to see yesterday, there's a page in Avodah Zarah where it brings up this tshuva genuva. And there it's in a totally different context, which is in a case where, if I remember correctly, it was one of the rabbis was asked a question by one of these Greeks or Roman, I don't know what it was there, which nationality, but it was, he was asked a question and they say, oh, he gave him a tshuva genuva. It wasn't really an accurate answer. And you could see why someone might do that when he's questioned by non-Jews and they're trying, you know, they were trying to pick a fight with him and say, oh, look, in your Torah, it says blah, 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 blah. You know, one could see maybe, but here it's to claim that Rabbi Akiva didn't really answer Rabbi Shimon properly is a little bit strange. And we'll see how Rabbi Yochanan responds to what Rish Lakish said here. If you remember their relationship, right? Rish Lakish came to learn under Rabbi Yochanan. Right? He kind of brought him in after he saw him, right, with in the water, that famous story. Anyway, then he brings him into the Beit Midrash, and he becomes his chavruta also. But he's still kind of a student, but chavruta. So Rish Lakish says, Nishum Rav Hashaya, Tshuva Gnuvai, Shivor Rabbi Akiva, Lotot Tamid, Bevatachat Im, Bezecher, Zeh, Lo, why would you distinguish? Dekeva de Pasulu, Mali Bevatachat, Mali Bezecher, Zeh. In the end, it's disqualified in any case. That's right, the whole thing was, well, it's not disqualified at this point, but in the end, it's disqualified anyway. So either they have Sika or they don't have Sika. The psul shouldn't affect it, whether one, you know, whether it gets psul in an earlier stage or at a later stage. Theoretically, if you're going to say it's all one korban and that's why it affects it, well then, even from the moment of hafrasha, no matter what order you did things, it shouldn't matter. If you're going to say there's zika no matter what. Because why is there zika? Because you brought them all for the, you brought them both for the same korban. So they're connected. They're linked because they're both coming under one korban chatat. So therefore, it doesn't make any sense that he said that, and he must not really have meant that. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan le Rish Lakish, v'ata iata omer ken. First of all, if you notice, what does he do? He uses the same lashon that Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Shimon. He says, "Bini iata omer ken." Right? Do you not agree with me? So he uses. It's funny. I only noticed that right now as I was reading it. Right? But I didn't catch that when I was preparing. But ata iata omer ken. Do you not say that? Do you not agree that it would make a difference? V'ata chad zeh achar zeh. Ilu, I'll tell you an example where it's clear. Ilu hifrich shte ashamot la'achariyut. If you took from the beginning, forget about this case where we had one chatat that got lost, we took another in its stead. But this case, you separated two korbanot asham for achariyut. That means you're worried in case one gets lost, right? So from the beginning, you separated two. V'shachat et shnehem, and then you slaughter both. V'kidem v'he'ela imruim shalacha mehem kodem zrika. What did you do then? Again, you're supposed to burn the imurim after you sprinkle the blood. But if you burnt the imurim before you sprinkle the blood of one of them, okay, so you take animal A, and you put, right, you took out two animals, A and B, you put the imurim of animal A, for some reason, you know, well, you didn't do it right, but you put it on the mizbeach to begin with, before the zrika. Iyatamodeh she'imalu yirdu. Do you not agree? Now, they don't tell you the whole thing. But then what you do? You then sprinkle the blood of animal B. Now, at this point, the imurim of animal A are still burning on the mizbeach. But that's not a korban at all, right? It's not like a disqualified korban. It's not even a korban. Because in the end, right, these were just two options. You picked option B, but A ended up burning on the mizbeach. You better remove that right away. Imalu yerdu is not exactly the right phrase here. Because amai, right, they... Imalu sounds like if you put them on, but this case, you already put them on. The reason they're using that is because every time they talk about it, it's imalu yerdu, imalu lo yerdu, but they're borrowing the phrase. What they're trying to say is, since it went on, and it's there, but you sprinkle the blood of animal B, you now have to take the imurim of animal A off the mizbeach, because it's basically like chulim bazara, right? Or something disqualified bazara. You clearly, everyone would agree that you'd have to take that off.
But why can't it just be considered a different kind, like a nidava?
You don't have nidava by asham. Asham and khatat, you can't bring an asham.
But it can't be totally neutralized and stand.
You can't, it can't, what? It's an asham. It's no longer an asham at this point. In other words, you can't turn an asham into a nidava while it's on the mizbeach. You, the only way you could do it, if you remember, what do we do when we have a case like that? You wait till it gets a mum, you sell it, and then the money goes to nidava. But you can't take an animal that was designated an asham and turn it into an ola.
Okay.
No way to do that. So, and therefore, he says like this. Obviously, you're going to have to take it down. And if, like, you want to say, Rish Lakish, look, these two were separated for the same korban. They're clearly one goof. Amayim alu yerdu. Then you shouldn't theoretically have to take this down because it's not a puzzle korban. It's an asham. It's like the other asham. And habaha marula imure kodshim kalim she'elan lifnei zrikatam lo yerdu na'asan lach moshal mizbech. And Ula says, if you did it in the wrong order, in a regular, forget about two animals. You just took one animal. You put the imurim first before you did the zrika. Once it's already on the mizbeach, you don't have to take it off. So if we view this all as one korban based on Ula, you would be allowed to leave it on. And nobody thinks that obviously you take these off. What does that show? That shows there's no zika between these. They're not necessarily considered one korban. And it's only in the case, as Rabbi Yochanan said earlier, that you put the two, you know, you slaughter them at the same moment, whatever at the same moment means, that's when there's a zika. But generally, there wouldn't be such a strong zika. Okay? And therefore, he disproves Rish Lakish's question. He said, oh, tshuva genuva, you answer Rabbi Akiva. So what does Rish Lakish do? Ishtik. He has nothing else to say. He's just silent. He realizes, I'm defeated. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, but that's not enough. Rabbi Yochanan has to get in the last word. Kitzatz tinun l'raglehu diyanuka. I cut off the legs of the child. Okay, what's he trying to say? I beat Rish Lakish in my argument. Okay, there was always a bit of competition between the two of them, and we see a lot of stories where there's a lot of, you know, competition between them and you know, not an easy relationship, even though they did, to a certain extent, have a good relationship, right? That's the case, the story where they say, Ochevruta omituta, right? He gets upset at Rish Lakish, and Rish Lakish ends up dying because Rabbi Yochanan got upset with him, and then Rabbi Yochanan is very sad that his chevruta is no longer there. But he said, and one of the reason he says there is because he was always so sharp and asked me such good questions that he made me strengthen my answers. So here also, right, Rabbi Yochanan comes out the winner, right? But Rish Lakish definitely asked a good question on him and helped him to sharpen. It's like a good proof of that, what Rabbi Yochanan describes there, that I no longer have my student help me sharpen. And he says there that Rabbi Elazar just answers all my questions, you know, just says yes, 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 yes. Whereas Rish Lakish question, and made me sharpen my answers. So here he says, and I think the reason why he's kind of saying something very disrespectful to Rish Lakish is because he was upset with how Rish Lakish was disrespectful to Rabbi Yochanan. And he then, right, it's interesting, when someone speaks disrespectfully, you know, one way of getting back at him is to show I can speak respectfully. But another way is saying, you did that, now you're going to be disrespected because you spoke that way. Okay, new Mishnah. This Mishnah is a bit strange because it seems to just be summarizing what we talked about before, and we'll see in the Gemara also they're going to end up explaining the Mishnah in a little bit of a different case. I forgot what the first word is supposed to be there. Yesh, what does it say there in the? Yeah. It says Yesh b'Mishnah. Okay, it says b'Mishnah shebimishnayot leita. Okay, so Maase damim b'kodshei kodashim lahakel ulahachmir. Okay, there's a case with blood, and what happens with blood in kodshei kodashim can also be a kula and can also be a chumra. In other words, the sprinkling of blood in kodesh kodeshim affects things in two ways. Oh, there's a chumra aspect and there's a kula aspect. Ubi kodesh kodeshim kulhu lachmir. But when it comes to kodeshim kalim, did I say kodesh kodeshim? I meant kodeshim kalim. Kulhu lachmir. It's only lachumra, the sprinkling of the blood. Kitzad, how does this work? And this, like I said, is just good review. Kodesh kodeshim lifnei zrikata mi moalim b'murehen. Uve vasar. Before you get to Zrikat Dam, they're already Kodesh Hashem, and therefore there's Me'ilah for the parts that get burned on the Mizbeach, and there's Me'ilah for the meat. La'achar Zrikat Damim, Mo'alim b'imurehen, you keep the Me'ilah and the Imurim, ve'ein Mo'alim b'basar, but the meat already becomes Mutar to Kohanim, and there's no more Me'ilah. So that's the Kula. And here comes the Chumrah. Ve'alze ve'alze, both on the Imurim and on the Basar, chayav mishum pigul notar v'tameh. Remember, unless you sprinkle the blood, you're not going to be high of the karate of pigul, notar, or tameh if you didn't sprinkle the blood. So therefore, the sprinkling of the blood in kodesh kodeshim has a chumrah, because now, if you were mefagel the meat earlier, or if the meat later became notar, or became tameh, and then you ate it, you're going to be high of karate only when you sprinkle the blood. So therefore, the sprinkling of the blood has an element of chumrah. Nimtzama, and here's the summary. Nimtzama, sedamim b'kodshei kodeshim lahakel ulahachmir. This is one of those structural missions where they say it, then they explain it, then they repeat it. U'b'kodshim kalim kulan lahachmir. Ketzad. Kodshim kalim lifnei zrikat damim. Before zrika, remember kodshim kalim, ein mo'alim lo b'imurim v'lo b'basar. They're not considered kodshei Hashem. They're not kodshei kodeshim. They belong to man, right? Eventually man's going to eat them. There's no problem with me'ila. Not in any part of them. La'achar zrikat damim. What happens when you do this zrikat dam? All of a sudden, the imurim become obligated to be burned, and therefore they become kodshei Hashem et zrika, and therefore in comes the chumrah. Mo'alim b'imurim, right? You start, the imurim become, have a din of me'ilah, ve'ein mo'alim b'basar, but there's no chiyuv of me'ilah by the meat. And another chumrah, and it has two chumras. Number one, the imurim become kodshei Hashem, and now you're chayav me'ilah for them if you use them. And the second is, you're chayav mishum pigul notar and tameh, just like, right, any zrikat dam is going to affect that now, if you eat any of the pigul notar or tameh, you will get chiyuv karet. So therefore, sprinkling the blood in kodshim kalim can only make things worse for you, right, not better. Katani. Now they're going to go back to the lashon of the Mishnah. It says, "Ein mo'alim b'basar." Now, in the beginning, right? It says when you, after you sprinkle the blood, it went from a status of yes me'ila to a status of no me'ila. Well, it sounds like, now this is always when we say you can't do it, sometimes it means me'ila hu deleika ha isura ika. When it says e mo'alim, instead of saying habasar mutar, didn't say that, but it could just say habasar mutar l'kohanim. Instead of saying that, it says e mo'alim. They assume, and there's an assumption that they're going to keep, they assume that that means, but you can't benefit from it. You won't have to pay the chomesh and bring a korban asha me'ilot, but midirabanan, it's asur bahana'a. Okay? That's what they assume it means. Vamai, but why should that be? And that's, why would that be true? Hamamona de kohenu, the kohen should be allowed to have the meat there. So it doesn't make any sense. So they say, ah, lo kashya, don't infer e mo'alim means, but it's asur. It bishum de nasiv resha mo'alim, nasiv seifa e mo'alim, because it started off with the status of no yes me'ila, when it was kodshe Hashem. Then when you sprinkle the blood, it became, me'ila was removed. That's why it says, right, to correspond. Mo'alim, ein mo'alim, but ein mo'alim doesn't mean, but it's not mutar. No. It means, it's mutar. It just used the word ein mo'alim to compare to mo'alim from before. But that doesn't make any sense, because why? Ema seifa, but look at the second part of the Mishnah. Bekodeshim kalim kulu lahachmir, ketzad. Basar kodshe kodashim, kodshim kalim, lifnei zrikat amim, ein mo'alim bahem ubim olehen. Ve'ein chayavin alehem mishum pigo v'notar v'tami, right? There's no din of me'ila by them at all in the beginning. La'achar zrikat amim, mo'alim b'im urehen. So the imurim get me'ila. Ve'ein mo'alim b'basar. Now, here, the ein mo'alim is just retaining its status. So you don't need to say ein mo'alim here to change it from, well, before it was mo'alim, now it's ein mo'alim. Before it was ein mo'alim, now it's ein mo'alim. So it would have made more sense then, according to your first answer, to just say mutar here. You wouldn't need the lashon ein mo'alim to say, well, before it was mo'alim, now it's ein mo'alim. Doesn't make any sense, right? And therefore, there it seems to really imply mi lau de leka ha isura ika v'amai ha mamona de ba'alim hu. So now this mishnah doesn't make any sense, because they're basically saying, even though the ratio, you could have come up with an answer in the seifa, it seems very clear. Ein mo'alim is not a specifically chosen lashon because of some other thing. No, it must be coming to tell you ein mo'alim instead of mutar, because it's not really mutar. That doesn't make any sense. Of course the basar is mutar. In the Bresha it should be mutar to the Kohanim. In the Seif it should be mutar to everybody. So Rabbi Chanina has to understand that the Mishnah isn't talking about the case that we think it's talking about. Amar Rabbi Chanina li yotzin. The Mishnah is talking about meat that was taken out. In other words, we thought the Mishnah was talking about perfectly good meat, right? You sprinkle the blood and this is what happens. And that becomes mutar to the Kohanim, and that becomes mutar to everyone. And there's mila, yes mila, no mila, right? Depending on the situation. But now they say, no, this is really a continuation of the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah was talking about kodshe kodeshim sheyatza. Remember, the meat left. So this is just continuing it and saying that we're talking about, right, even if the meat left, right, this would be according to Rabbi Akiva, there would still be a, right, the zrika would affect me'ila, either to bring it on or to take it off, depending on whether it's kodshim kalim or kodshe kodeshim. And Rabbi Akiva, right? And it goes like Rabbi Akiva, and it's to tell you that ki ama Rabbi Akiva zrika mo'ela liyotze lisreifa aval la'achilo hu de lo meratze. What's this Mishnah coming l'chadesh? Ein mo'alim, but you can't eat the meat. Now, we knew this already, but we knew this because we knew this, but what they're saying is the chiddush of this Mishnah is, what does it mean it's mo'ela liyotze? That means for the issue of sreifa, which I'll get back to in 1 second, but when it comes to achila, it's not effective. It doesn't allow you, since the meat went out, you can't eat the meat anymore. It doesn't allow you to eat the meat. It does affect strafa. There's two different interpretations. I'll go with one, the one that Rashi points out here, which is there's, if something's really disqualified, then you have to burn it immediately. If something's lower level disqualified, so you can't necessarily burn it until what happens? Until it starts to get disgusting. And then you're allowed to. It's kind of like Pidushat Shvid in Shemitah, where you have to leave the stuff until it gets rotten before you can throw it out. So also here, what they're saying is, that's what the Zrika affects. The Zrika affects that now, since the korban was good, the meat still can't be eaten, but when it comes to Shreifa, you don't burn it immediately. You wait until what they call Ubar Tzurato. It starts to change form and already look disgusting. Then you can burn it. So that, the Zrika helps with, and as I don't know if it helps or hurts, it means you have to wait a little while until it burns. It's not a full disqualification, but it is enough of a disqualification to not allow you, since the meat went out, you can't eat the meat. And that's what this Mishnah is trying to tell you, okay? Which really takes this Mishnah away from the pshat of the Mishnah, because it says not talking about a regular case, it's only talking about a case of Yotzin. Hajan al-Kodshei Kodeshim. We'll start the second paragraph tomorrow.